In your Scofield Reference Bible, page 610, we'll read responsively verses 11 through 18. The text verse being the 14th verse, Psalm 25, verses 11 through 18. And shall we stand, please, all of us, for the reading of God's word? For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. And let's pray. We're thankful, dear Lord, for our church. We've looked forward now for a number of days to be here once again. How it refreshes us and delights us. Yet help us that we might fulfill every reason for our being here today. In order to do that, we're certainly going to have to be mindful of that which is preached. Give us really care to listen and to meditate upon all that is spoken from this pulpit today. Bless our preacher. Bless, we pray, and help us to hear that which you've given him very carefully. In Jesus' name, amen.
When I first began preaching, I used to wonder, what am I going to preach when I get the Bible all preached up? And I used to hear about preachers being at churches for 10 or 15 years. I thought, good night. What do they preach on? After the Bible's all used up, what do they preach on? And now after all these years, I've got more left to preach now than I had 25 years ago. There's so many beautiful orchids in God's garden of truth that I want to pluck and share with you and let you investigate each petal with me. And today, I'm going to take one of those beautiful little flowers tucked away in the corner of the garden and talk to you. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. I want to speak this morning on the subject, God's got a secret he wants to tell you. God's got a secret he wants to tell you. Father, bless, I pray, the preaching of thy word this morning to our hearts, to our edification, and to our sanctification, to our dedication. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder how many times I've reminded you how like God we are. God is perfect. We're not. God is powerful. We're weak. God is great. We're insignificant. But in our personalities, we are made in the image of God and are far more like God than any of us would dare to know. Then, if we are like God in our makeup, in our personalities, I think it would be safe to say then how like us God is. If I favor you, then you favor me. And if I favor God, then God favors me. I will not belabor you to remind you what I often remind you about the humanity as far as the personality of God is concerned. How when Jesus said, Peter, lovest thou me? Now Jesus knew Peter, whether Peter loved him or not. Jesus knows all things. He's omniscient. There's no secret. Are you listening? Are you listening? There's no secret hidden from Jesus. By the way, I'm not up here filling up some time, so we'll say we went to church on Sunday. I'm here to give you something, and I want you to hear me while I talk and just focus our attention upon the things of God. Jesus is omniscient. He knew whether Peter loved him or not, but Jesus wanted to hear Peter say, "Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." That's what I like. The other day, my mother's so sick, and she's just so suffering so much. I called, and I said, "Earlene, how's mother?" And she said that she's suffering an awful lot. She said, "In fact, I got to run to her now. She's hollering for me." And I said, "Tell her I love her." And so Earlene went in and said, "Mother," said that Jack just called and said he loves you. And I do too, Mother. I love you too. And Mother said, "I like to hear that. I like to hear that." And everybody likes to hear it. And so did Jesus. So does God. He likes to hear it. And he said, "Peter, lovest thou me?" He knew what he'd say. And when Jesus said, as I've reminded so often, he said, "Whom say that I, the Son of Man, am?" He even gave him a hint. He gave the answer in the question. "Whom say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And Peter said, they said, "Some say you're Elijah, and some say you're John the Baptist, and some say you're Jeremiah, and some say you're one of the prophets." And Jesus said, "Whom say ye that I am?" He knew what they'd say. He wanted to hear it. "That's all. Tell me if you love me or not. You told me once, but I forgot." That's what he's saying. And then time and time, I reminded you about when Jesus was on the road to Emmaus, and the Bible says he made as if he had gone farther. He knew he was going to go eat with them, but he wanted to be begged a little bit, like us. And then he told us to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." He said, before you ask me for anything, he said, "Brag on me. I like to hear the bragging. Hallowed be thy name." And he wants to, by the way, he's so like us. He wants to tell his secrets to somebody. That's why God made Eve. Because Adam wanted somebody to tell his secrets to. It was the first Saturday afternoon of the world's existence. Adam was watching a ball game on television. It was marvelous. First had come the light, and then came the fish of the sea, and then all the tribes of the animal kingdom. And after that, God was ready for man. And God made man in the image of God. It was marvelous. Adam in the Garden of Eden, in a tropical bliss, in paradise. Every tree was pleasant to the eyes. Rivers flowed peaceably in verdant valleys. Every sound was a melody, and every scene was a delight. There was no war to unrest the breast, and no sickness to cause a fear of death. There was no leaf that withered, and the wind never gave off an uncomfortable chill. And no perspiration moistened the brow, no weariness, no heat, no cold, no blossoms were ever smitten by a tempest, and no withering frost ever chilled a rose, and no shadow of guilt was ever known. For Adam there was a choir of birds, and no adult bookstore to corrupt the mind, and no profanity to freeze the ear, and no door need ever be locked, and no insurance policy was ever signed, and there was no sign of sin to be seen. Everything was beautiful, and the temperature was always right. No cold, no hot, no freezing, no melting. Humidity was always right. No dampness, no extra dryness. This was the Garden of Eden. God had made everything for man's delight, yet something was missing. Adam needed someone with whom he could share his secrets and joys. He yearned for companionship and longed for communion with a kindred soul. He saw the fish swim together in schools, and he was lonely. He saw the birds fly in the air together and in flocks, and he was lonely. He saw the beasts of the field roam the fields together, and Adam was lonely. And God certainly understood that. God made man that he might have fellowship with himself, and God could certainly understand why Adam wanted somebody with whom he could share his secrets and with whom he could commune, because God himself was lonesome, and God made Adam for his own secret communion. And now God understands the plight of Adam, for Adam wants somebody to share with him the joys of the Garden of Eden. And there she comes. adorned with all that heaven and earth could bestow to make her beautiful. The earth was sad, the garden wild, the hermit sighed, till woman smiled. Not a creature since Adam. Not a creature since Adam. But what doesn't want somebody to share his burden and share his secret and share his heartache? The busy housewife wants somebody to say, I know you're tired. And the man that comes home in the evening wants somebody to ask, did you have a hard day today? And even the pastor of First Baptist Church of Hammond sometimes wishes there were a larger church in America than his, so he'd go to some preacher and say, what do I do now? Every creature that God ever made was made in the image of God, and because they were made in the image of God, they hungered for somebody to say, let me share my secret. And maybe God shed a tear, for he too had some secrets to share. God had some great truths he wanted to reveal. He had some verses he wanted to explain. He had some secrets he wanted to share. And how happy God is when he finds somebody that'll listen to his secrets and somebody understand his great truths. Remember what he said of Abraham? He said, shall I hide from Abraham that which I do? For I have known him. God said, Abraham, I can't hide anything from him. Abraham's my friend. He's a friend of God. Can I hide anything from Abraham? I have known him. Remember what it said? It said, the Bible said he spake to Moses as a friend. One of the sweetest things in the Bible. If you miss the whole sermon, don't miss this. Paul was caught up to the third heaven. And Paul said, I saw things up there that was unlawful to utter. I heard things unlawful to utter. You know what God did? God is making heaven, and God said, I want to show it to somebody. I want somebody to see it. And the Lord said, hey, Paul, come here. I want to show you something. Paul, I've been working on this for a long time, and I want to show it to somebody. Hey, Paul, come here. And Paul got caught third heaven, and the Lord said, what do you think about it? You like it? And Paul said, wow, zowie. That's in the Greek. And, wow, woo. God said, you think my folks will like it? Paul said, like it, they'll love it. And God said, I'm glad about that. And now Paul, he said, look, this is my secret and yours. Don't you tell anybody now. And Paul came, that's what he meant. You know, he said, then Paul came back and he said, it's unlawful for me to utter the secrets. That's not the way God is. God's not like a seminary graduate, preacher just got out of seminary. God's a tender, loving God. God doesn't say, and the Lord is in his holy temple, and I love my people, I love my people, I'm going to love my people. No, God didn't say that. God said, hey, Paul, come here. Got something I want to show you. I was writing my book on separation. Russell Anderson, on the airplane. And we start talking about separation. And I want somebody to see some of it. And I said, hey, Russ, I'm writing a book. Oh? Yeah, I'm writing a book. Yeah. What's it on? Oh, didn't you ask? It's on separation. Is that right? Yeah, that's right. I got the manuscript with me. You do? Yeah. I mean, with me, now, here, in the briefcase, right underneath the chair, in front. You do? Yeah, I do. I want to say, ask me, you idiot! And I got it here. No talking, please. I got it here. And so, he said, I said, it's ready to send the printer. Is it? Yeah, it is. Right there. Right down there. It's in plain print where you can read it. That's good.
And I said, you wouldn't like to read a chapter of it, would you?
And he said, sure. I'm with all the enthusiasm. A blind man going to a picture show. A one-legged man going to a dance. And I said, so I got it out. I said, well, since you ask. And I got the book out, and I began to figure out which chapter shall I show him, which is the best chapter. And, of course, they're all so marvelous there. And but which is the best one? And so I got the one out. I gave it to him, and while he was reading it, I glanced over at him. I want to see if he's smiling. I want to see if he's going, mm-hmm. And I listen, and I watch. You know, that's the way God is. God's trying to find somebody that thinks about the same thing he thinks about. God's trying to find somebody that loves what he loves. That's why he said, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. God said, I got some secrets I'm just itching to tell. Paul, hey, Paul, you've been walking to me. Come on up here. Now, Paul, I'm going to have to whack you in the head a few times with some rocks to get you up here. That's all we're going to get you up here. Whack, 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 whack. And old Paul staggered out. Lord said, Paul, hey, it's me. It's me. I'm just trying to get your attention. Come on up here. And the Lord said, Paul, hey, I built a city. Paul said, you did?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's right here. Paul said, yes.
Yeah.
Said, I'd show anybody around if they're interested. And Paul said, I'm interested. The Lord said, well, since you brought it up. And the Lord showed it. And then the Lord said, now, Paul, I don't want you to tell anybody about this. I'm just itching to let folks know, but I want to be a surprise. I want to let somebody know about it. And Paul, I wanted to share my secret with you. How happy God is when God can find somebody who loves him enough where God can tell him things he wants to tell him. How happy God is. You see, I didn't walk over to the man across the aisle and say, hey, fella, I'm writing the book on separation. Want to read a chapter? He could have cared less. I wanted somebody I thought would care about it. And I felt like Russell Anderson was interested in separation. And I felt like he was interested in the things of God. Found out he wasn't, but I thought he would be. And I said, Russ, want to read a chapter? Why? Because I felt like his mind was in tune with mine. I felt like his likes were like mine. I felt like his tastes were like mine. I felt like we were enough alike. We both like the Bible and money. I mean, the Bible and things of God. And I felt like it was enough like mine. And I said, Russ, read that chapter. Read it. Like it or not, read it. I did what I wouldn't do. I wouldn't take a carnal mind and say, read a chapter of my book and tell me what you think about it. And the Lord says, I wish I could find somebody that loves me enough. Don't you think God gets lonely? Don't you think God wishes somebody like him enough to say, Lord, I'm interested in what you do. Tell me some of your secrets. The Lord said, if I could just tell somebody, I've got some things in this book I want to share. But nobody seems to care. They won't even read it, much less let me tell them some of the hidden things. I've got some things I want to tell them and share with them. But I can't find anybody interested enough. Oh, the Lord hungers for spiritual people. The Lord hungers for somebody that understands him and somebody that cares about his truths, about what he has to offer. And the Lord said, Paul, come on up here. John 14:23. I love this. If any man love me, he shall keep my words. Listen, get the words here. If any man love me, he shall keep my words, and my Father will love him, and come unto him and make our abode with him. Now look, are you listening? I'm looking for somebody interested in what I'm saying. Paul said, Jesus said, he said, now, if any man love me, he'll keep my words. He said, my Father will love him, and my Father will come to him, and we will make our abode. He said, I'll come with Daddy. He said, if you love me, and my Father, my father will love you and come to you. And we, that means the eternal, mighty, everlasting Father, will come to live with you. And Jesus said, I'll come too. He said, Daddy takes me on his trip with him, and I'll come too. And Jesus says, we want to talk to you. Well, but you got to love me first. We're not going to live with you if you don't love us. If you'll love me and love my Father will come and live with you and make our abode. And then we can teach you some things you didn't know. If you'd just be interested, I've got so many things to teach you that you don't know. Oh, listen to me. The Lord God in heaven says in Proverbs 3:32, his secret is with the righteous. God's not going to share his secret with a movie-going hypocrite. God's not going to share his secret with a person who's got a cable television so he can watch the dirty movies. God's not going to share his secret with those sitting home watching the adultery on soap operas in the afternoon. God's not going to share his secret with those who got beer in the icebox.
God's not going to share it. Well, you say, Brother House, can't you be a Christian? Can you go to heaven and take a little nip every once in a while? There's more to the Christian life than going to heaven. God made you to fellowship with himself. Listen. God didn't make you just to get to heaven and not speak to him. God didn't make you to go to heaven and just sit there. God made you to go to heaven so he can be with you and fellowship with you and love you and get to tell you his secrets. God made you for more than to get inside the city of heaven. God made you to share his secrets and his truths and his hidden treasures with him.
It says in Psalm 55:14, the psalmist said, we took sweet counsel together. I'm not sure what the sweetest words ever written by a musician are. What are they? Could we with ink the ocean fill, or were the sky a parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the whole contain the scroll, though stretched from sky to sky. I don't know whether that's the prettiest or not. What are the prettiest words written by musicians and sung by singers? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I don't know. My mother thinks it's sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care. And I especially like that last line. Till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height, I view my home and take my flight and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. What's the most beautiful line written by musicians and sung by singers? I don't know. But it just may be. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I'm his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other's ever known. God said, I want more than people to go to heaven. I want the spiritual people. I want the folks that love me. I want some folks that love my book. I got so many things I want to tell them, but I can't tell anybody because I can't find anybody reading my book. Who gets these secrets? It's easy. See who gets them? The secret of the Lord with them that fear him. I often have a little sermon I preach occasionally, not often, sometimes to a graduation exercise or commencement. There are 5,000 people followed Jesus about wherever he went on earth. Out of that 5,000 came 500 who were there after the resurrection. Pretty little better group than the 5,000. Out of that 500, there came 120 with the upper room and prayed for 10 days. And from the upper 20, there came 70 who went out to witness and were sent forth to witness. And from that 70, there came 12 who were the chosen apostles. And from that 12 came 3 who were the inner circle. And from that 3 came beloved John, who leaned on his breast. And John got to hear the secrets of Jesus. Why? Because he leaned on his breast. He wasn't interested in just eating some fish and loaves and fishes with the 5,000. He wasn't interested just hanging around and seeing the glorified body with the 500. He wasn't interested in just a prayer meeting with 120 or just going soul winning with the 70. Or just being an official board with the 12. Or just being on the inner circle with the 3. He said, I want to know his secrets. I want to know his, I want to lean on his breast. I've often wondered what Jesus told him. You think John just leaned on Jesus' breast and stayed there? No. 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 I cradled my mother's little head in my arms before she went to surgery the other day. I didn't cradle her head in my arms because that's where I wanted her head. She wanted to hear something. She wanted to hear, I love you. John got to lean on Jesus' breast. And I can understand you people just interested in getting out of hell and going to heaven. I don't understand that.
I don't comprehend. It looks like to me this morning, if you're in that 5,000, you ought to say, I'm not satisfied. I want to be a member of the 500.
If you're in that 500 this morning, I don't understand it. You ought to say, I'm not satisfied. Make me a group of that 120 that pray.
If you're in that 120 that pray, you ought to say, I'm not satisfied yet.
Make me a group of that 70 that go soul winning. And if you're in the group of go soul winning, you ought to say, I'm not satisfied yet. Make me one of the 12 that's in his a special class. And then you ought to say, I'm not satisfied. I want to be in the inner circle. And then you, like John, ought to say, I'm not satisfied. I want to know his secret. I want it. Can you imagine when John leaned on his breast? That's the heart beat of the Savior. But then John leaned on his breast and it went. And Jesus told him secrets. Don't you think it's time you decided to fear him and know his secrets?
Secrets of what? Secrets of his word. I'm thankful I found John 7:17. If any man shall do his will, he shall know the doctrine. Did you hear it? If any man shall do his will, he shall know the doctrine.
May I testify? I teach up here. Please don't misunderstand me. Please. I am not a brilliant man. I'll guarantee him. I teach things up here from this pulpit on a Wednesday night. I doubt seriously if you'll get anywhere else. I'm not saying I'm smart. I'm not smart. You say, well, I am. How do you know? How do you learn all that Bible? Tell you how. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And every once in a while the Lord says, Jack, you're mighty busy, but you're busy trying to help people. You counsel with folks away in the night. And you try to help people, and you try to feed the hungry and clothe the cold, and you try to get people saved, and you go up and down the country trying to preach and stir up preachers, and you're awful busy. And the Lord says, hey, come here. And I tiptoe, and he says, look here. Now look at there. You know, some of you folks, some of you, I know theologians study the Bible 10 hours a day and don't know much Bible. You know why? Because you don't know the secrets just by reading the Bible. When you get the place where you get in the inner circle, the Lord says, hey, come here. Look at there. I say, wow, I didn't know that. He said, I know. You know, don't you love to spread something nobody else has heard? And the Lord says, I got something to tell you. I look at it. You sure are smart, Lord. He said, thank you. I come and teach it to you. You know why? Because I fear him.
Secret of his word. Secret of his will.
Hey, do you know that God has a lot of things for us to do that we never find out about because we don't get in the inner circle? Now, who gets to know these secrets?
With whom does God share his secrets? God said, I want to show. I got something I want to share with you. I got some truth. I got some truth. I've got some scripture I want to explain. I want to show you something nobody else but knows. I want to teach you some secrets of mine.
Follow me, and I'm going to use an illustration that I probably know more than anybody in America. I doubt there's anybody, unless it's a pilot or a stewardess on the airline, that flies more miles than I do. I've already flown in January. I've got a trip to San Diego tomorrow and back home Wednesday, but I've already flown in January 22,000 miles on airplanes in January alone. You know what this word fear means? Huh? Originally it meant afraid of high places, afraid of flight. Now follow me carefully. Here's a person never has flown before. I'll never forget when Dave took his first flight. He was about just a little more than 5 years old. That big old jet plane began to rev those motors up. And old Dave pulled out like that and held onto the seat. And he said, Dad, I got to get my mind on something else.
And it's your first flight. And all of a sudden, that big old thing goes down the runway. And suddenly, like a miracle, that mini-ton machine raised off the runway and soars out into the sky. And if you don't get afraid, you'll never get up.
And then as that thing takes you above the clouds, for a while you can't see anything. And all of a sudden you come out of the clouds and you enter and see the sun as bright as you've ever seen it before in your life. And then all of a sudden you look down and you see as beautiful a sight. It makes the Alps blush in timidity. It makes the Rocky Mountains and the San Diego Mountains have an inferiority complex. It makes an introvert out of the Smokies. You look down and see that carpet of clouds. How beautiful. But nobody ever sees that who doesn't rise. That's only for those who rise.
But now those on the ground don't fear. No fear, no rise. No rise, no revelation of things others haven't seen. And so you fear, but you say, okay, I fear, but I trust, and off you you go into the wild blue yonder, and you take off.
And all of a sudden, you get in a thick cloud. You begin to tremble a bit. You get afraid. I'll never forget the first time we got in a storm. I was in a DC-3 airplane coming from Natchez, Mississippi, to Dallas, Texas. And that plane bounced all over the ground, all over the air. I was afraid it was going to bounce all over the ground. And so I'm glad I make a few mistakes. It's the only way I know some of you are still listening. And so I was scared. In fact, I was so scared, I didn't put my whole weight down on the plane. Stewardess came back, and she said, "Mister, Bill Harvey is with me, and I got reading the Bible." Bill was reading a magazine, looked over me, and he said, "Chicken." Stewardess came back, and she said, "Mister," she said, "Pilot up there is in contact with the tower. Said, we know we're the tower is directing us in. Nothing to be afraid of." And the tower kept talking us. And the plane followed the instruction of the tower. And the course was all charted by radar. And down to the landing strip we came. We saw things nobody saw on the ground. That's what it means to fear the Lord. It means that you fear God, but you're willing to trust anyway. And you launch out by faith. And then all of a sudden, because you launch out by faith, you're taken up into the heavenly life. You don't live to eat, and you don't live to sleep. You don't live to lust. You don't live for things. You don't live for what you can get. You don't live for this world. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And all of a sudden, you soar above the world. And the Lord says, "Now, it's you up here. You're afraid, aren't you?" "Yeah." He said, "I got some secrets for those that fear me. I want to show you some secrets." The Lord lets you know things you'd never know if you didn't fear. Listen to me, and I'm through. Yesterday morning, 11 o'clock, I was standing right here. Seven children sitting over here, some grown, some not grown. Their 41-year-old mother gave no forewarning whatsoever. They just found her dead in bed one morning, 41 years of age, died suddenly. Little 13-year-old boy sat right here. Wonder where he's going to live. Wonder what he's going to do. Wonder what school he'll go to. Wonder what house he'll live in. Sit over here. 13-year-old boy. I want to tell you something, folks. It wasn't easy for them, but I'll bind you one thing. I'll bind you that they'll learn some things about God that you'll never know. For in that fear and in that apprehension and in that concern, there comes a fall to your knees and prayer and faith and desperation sometimes. And God comes along and says, "I'll take care of you." So if you've never been in the storm, you'll never know the peace of rising above it. If you've never been in the battle, you'll never know the joy of victory. If you've never been sick, you'll never know the joy of health. If you've never been discouraged, you'll never know the joy of encouragement. And you'll never know the joy of the secrets of the Lord until you, in His fear, rise above the earth. And you get in the heavenlies. Not many folks up there. Most everybody's on earth. The other day they said, "We had a close call since the plane was a mile from us." A mile. Look as far as you can see up there. Not many folks up there. Not many. Most of them down here, earthbound. Eating, drinking, buying, selling, marrying, getting in marriage. But a few are above the clouds. And they're the ones that learned the secrets of the heavens. And God said, "If you'll, I want to tell you some secrets. But I can't tell you to rise above the earth. And rise above your own desires and wants and selfishness. And walk with me." I love what the little boy said about Enoch. He said, "Enoch walked with God, and was not, for God took him." He said, one day Enoch and God went for a walk. And they walked and they walked and they talked and they talked and they walked and they talked and they talked and they walked. And Enoch looked at his watch and says, "God, I got to get back home. It's getting late." And God said, "Enoch, We've been walking so long, we're closer to my house than we are to yours. Won't you just come on home with me? And that's what God wants you to do. And he walks, sing it, with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joys or the secrets we share, sweet tarry there. None other has ever, did you get it? None other has ever known. It's a secret. It's a secret. How do you get it? He walks with me, and he talks with me. He tells me I'm his own. And the joys we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. The secret of the Lord is with those that fear him. Our Heavenly Father,